Welcome to Clifton Health on Air. I'm your host, Danielle.
And I'm your co-host, Lauren.
And welcome. We are a local health department podcast here in Clifton, New Jersey, that also services the township of Little Falls.
We are located just about 12 miles west of New York City.
Welcome. And today we're talking all about animal control. And today we have with us our two animal control officers, Steeleone and Casey Molnar. How are
welcome.
You?
Hello, hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
So, what does an animal control officer do in the city of Clifton?
So, an animal control officer's first priority is to stop the spread of rabies. Now, the question is, how do you do that? So, our job is really exciting, it's really dangerous, and it's a lot of fun. You see a lot of good things and you see a lot of bad things. So it is very unfortunate to see animals that have rabies. How can you tell if an animal has rabies? That is the biggest question we get asked from the public. Is it rabid? So what I think from my years of experience is when I see an animal and it either A, is walking around like it's, let's say, loopy, walking and falling every couple feet, watery eyes. You know, people do say foaming out of the mouth. I've only seen that twice, but the two times that I saw it, the animal did come back positive for rabies. That being said, you could also not know from any symptoms if an animal has rabies. That's why when you are in the public or in the outdoors, and you see an animal that is not yours, don't touch it. Say it one more time. Don't touch it. I know if the kitten is cute and you want to pet it and you want to bring it home to see your family, the first instinct you're going to do is pick it up and try to bring it home. Yes, we want to save animals' lives and we want to bring it home and put it into your own family, but if that animal has any type of infections, also rabies, you could be in a boatload of trouble. And also, the rabies shots are thousands and thousands of dollars. Sometimes insurance doesn't cover it. Sometimes it does. Who knows? You don't even want to go that route. So I would say if you see any wildlife, do not touch it. Call your local health department. Call your police non-emergency line, and they will dispatch us. And we will go into the field and figure out for you. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is call. Now, one thing I want to touch base on, so we prevent the spread of rabies, but the biggest thing is don't call us every time you see a raccoon, a skunk, a squirrel, groundhog. So I would just use your judgment wisely, your good judgment. And if you feel like you are in danger in any way, you give us a call. We'll come. We'll take care of it.
Right. And the health department number is 973-470-5760. The police non-emergency number is 973-470-5911. Just to touch on what you had mentioned before, Steele, when an animal comes back positive, what does that mean? Do you send it out for testing?
So, if you were exposed to an animal with rabies, now how can you get exposed? That's a good question. So, number one would be saliva. So, anytime it transmits to a human, whether it's from a cut, mouth, any type of way into your body, it could be your eyes, any way that saliva transfers, that could be a way for the virus to get in. So in terms of if you were bit by something and we had to come out and we had to capture, whether it's alive or deceased, we would take that animal and we would have to send it to Trenton, New Jersey.
And it could be any animal?
Yes, it could be any animal. They will take it, test it, and within, I'd say, 3 days, you'll get the results. Another question that I get asked is, okay, I was bit by this raccoon. What do I do? Well, as an animal control officer, you can't catch what you don't see. So if we lose sight of that animal, or you lose sight of that animal, we haven't even got there yet, what do you do? That is when you call your doctor, your physician, whoever you get your medical advice from, that's going to give you the best advice. That's what I would do. And once the animal leaves and you lose sight of it, you can't identify if that was the same animal that attacked you. And we've seen that actually in the past month. So.
Right. And just to touch on some of the symptoms that you mentioned that some animals could have, what would the difference be between sick and injured?
Okay, so sick and injured. In terms of rabies, we're talking just one health issue. We're talking about rabies. If we're talking about upper respiratory infections, you see that a lot this time of year when it gets too hot, too cold, too fast, the shifts of the weather. Skunks and cats, they get upper respiratory infections and they get sick. We've been seeing a lot of that. But in terms of the difference between sick and injured, let's just say we're talking about any type of sickness, mm-hmm. whether upper respiratory or
right.
infections, mm-hmm. and then an injury. Well, an injury is more you're going to see it. You're going to see some type of wound or something on the body failing, mm-hmm. whether it's a broken arm, broken leg. You know, we're not all veterinarians here. We try our best. We learn as we go. You know, if I feel like something is injured, but it's savable, I will immediately go to veterinary animal hospital. That would be one place that I would go. But in terms of the animal sick, until you test it, it really doesn't matter until you get it to a veterinarian that is just a pro at what they do. Our job is to transport. So if you guys have any questions, you could call animal control, give us an idea of what you're seeing, and we could probably make a 50-50 bet of what it is. And then we go from there. Then we mm-hmm. use our connections to better assist the public.
A lot of times with illness, it's more of like neurological. So like Steele said, if the animal is walking around in circles or bumping into things, that's more of an illness than an injury.
In order to prevent the spread of rabies, what can a resident do if they have an animal at their house and it gets bitten by a raccoon or a skunk? What would be like your first recommendation?
So the biggest thing is to make sure that the household pets, like your dogs or your cats, have an updated rabies vaccine. Up until, I believe, 1 year of age, they can have a rabies vaccine that's good for 1 year. And then from that point on, every rabies vaccine that they get is good for 3 years. Through the NJDOH, Department of Health, they do allow free rabies vaccinations. We will be having ours in November, so keep an eye out for that. But also you can go to your vet and get it done for your dogs as well and cats.
Awesome.
Now, if your animal was ever bit and it has a rabies shot,
mm-hmm.
it is a lot safer that it has the shot.
Okay.
But what you should do is contact your veterinarian and make sure that they're either going to tell you, you know what, we think that you should come in for a booster shot, or they're going to say, hey, you know what, have a coffee, relax, we'll talk to you on Monday, bring the dog in for an inspection.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on how the exposure happened in terms of do you think it was bit or yes, this dog or cat was bit. We need to give it a booster.
It's also really important to point out that it's not just the wild animal biting your pet. It's also your pet attacking the wild animal. So if your dog finds a groundhog
yeah.
or a raccoon or something and happens to sink its teeth into it,
mm-hmm.
you know, also let your vet know, just because, again, like Steele said, through saliva or any type of bodily fluid, if there's blood on the dog, make sure you get checked out by your vet.
Have you seen that often, or have you had any calls of that often?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we've definitely have our hunting dogs in the city of Clifton and Little Falls, and we see all the time that dogs, if there is one animal that's going to get attacked by your dog, it's going to be a groundhog.
Oh,
100%. And, you know, I don't believe, I'm sure there's a list of, I know there's a list of animals that are on the top rabies from 1 to 10. If I had to guess, and I've seen the list of like 4 years ago, groundhogs are definitely low on the list. All right.
Okay.
Possums are, you don't even have to worry about it realistically. There's like a 0.1% that rabies cannot exist in possums. And the reason why is because their temperature, their blood temperature, and they're literally, they don't get sick.
So their blood temperature is too low?
Yeah.
Or
their body temperature is too low to house the rabies vaccine.
They're marsupials.
Got it. So what would be?
The top animals would be for with rabies, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Bats. Bats.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yes, they exist in Clifton.
Bats and raccoons definitely get into it. But a bat could be in your house and you wouldn't know it. And they could come and they could bite you in the middle of the night. And that's what happens. So the scenarios that I see at my job, our job, is that when a bat goes into a house and you don't know about it, you go to sleep and you wake up the next morning and there it is, the same room you're sleeping in. That's a situation.
That's a horror film.
That's a horror situation.
So what would have to happen, we cannot prove that that bat didn't bite you. Can't prove it.
Would we know about it?
You wouldn't. It's little, two little dots if it bit you. And I'll be honest with you, like, I'm not going to sit there, you know, examine someone.
Right.
You know, I'll look at your arms, but who am I to look at your arms? I'm not a doctor. But if I see it in the corner, I know that we have to go and test this.
Yeah.
Because if it comes back positive, that's going to be on you. Do you want to go and get the rabies shots or do you want to take the chance?
Okay.
And once rabies gets into the system, and if you start having symptoms of rabies, you have 10 days. And then unfortunately, there is no cure once the rabies hits that certain time zone. Once you start seeing symptoms and 10 days go by, unfortunately, there's nothing doctors could do. So that's that.
What are the most wildlife have you seen?
So we get a lot of wildlife calls for baby raccoons, possums, birds. Our biggest thing is, unless the animal is physically injured or sick, don't call us. We can't really do anything other than just let the animal live its life.
Yeah.
And tying into babies too, raccoons, I know a lot of people get nervous when they see raccoons during the day.
Yeah.
But nursing moms, especially during the spring, will come out during the day to get food because she's feeding her babies. So that is completely normal as well.
How about foxes? Are they normal?
Same thing.
Same thing as
raccoons.
Okay.
Maybe even more than raccoons. But the biggest thing that someone should do to help the wildlife is do not touch them.
Okay.
If they fall out of the nest and it's a really bad situation and you know it's either going to get ran over or something, you can then call animal control. We will come and relocate them back into the nest. We're not going to bring them far. We may even just put them 2 feet to the left. If that, you know, hires the odds of the animal making it,
you're just going to bring it back to safety.
Yes, but we also have protective safety gear to touch the animals and relocate them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some animals get a little thrown off if your scent is on the baby. So that's why we like to wear gloves as well.
Okay.
So we don't want strangers, you know, having their hands and touching the animals. And then
so don't touch the animals.
Yeah.
Number one.
Don't touch the babies. Because
definitely
it brings,
wash your hands.
Yes. And it brings stress to both the babies and the mother when the babies are touched.
Okay.
Especially if the babies are left in one spot by the mother and it's moved to something else.
Now, when I, like, let's say I'm in my backyard and I see an animal, mm-hmm. and I'm going to freak out, so I want it, trapped. I want it out of my yard. Would I call you?
If you call us, we're going to give you information on the situation. So if you have babies that are abandoned,
mm-hmm.
right, the mom got hit by a car, and the raccoons are screaming because they're hungry, they're tired, they're dehydrated, they're mad, upset, disappointed. Anyway, so we come out and we will safely put them in a carrier,
mm-hmm.
and we will relocate them to an animal hospital that has the necessary equipment to do so.
Okay.
And we'll do that. Now, if there's a mom raccoon and its babies, and now you want us to come and relocate them, we do not do that.
Got it.
You could call a pest control company, and they will come out, do what they do, set traps and everything, but they have regulations.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just come and take babies and take moms or
okay.
some of them that don't know what they're doing that really just make this so much harder is they probably don't even have certifications. They're doing it illegally, and they're coming out and they're taking these babies and separating from the mothers, and then they're making me do 10 times as much work. That's animal cruelty, and that's not okay.
Okay. So you touched upon animal cruelty. Can you define that?
Yeah. So anyone that basically does an animal wrong, there's 100 statutes of what animal cruelty is. But if you know in your heart that something's wrong and you're messing with animals' well-being, it's probably on the list of animal cruelty. Separating animals from their mother, that's just mean, and that is animal cruelty. You know, in terms of, hey, I don't want my dog anymore, and you go into the back of a church parking lot and you release a dog, that's animal cruelty. We're going to find you. We're going to charge you.
Let's say I'm walking down the street and I see a neighbor, their dog is outside in the heat.
Yes.
Right? And, you know, it's a hot
yes.
summer day. I think that they may be treating their dog poorly. Would I call you?
Okay. So this has changed. So now in New Jersey, any type of animal cruelty is not enforced by animal control anymore. So Clifton Animal Control does not go out for animal cruelty.
Who would?
We do now have humane law enforcement officers that are appointed by the police department. They are detectives. They are from Clifton Police. They are detectives. And they will come out and enforce animal cruelty. So if, let's say, a dog is baking in the sun and it is some type of animal cruelty, the animal is not in good condition, the police will be the first responders on the scene. When the police are there, 95% of the time they're going to call animal control, that most of us have our animal cruelty investigator licenses, certifications that we used to have in the past. So we have knowledge of animal cruelty, but now we can't enforce it. So with our knowledge, we will help the police make a decision of what's next, what do we do? And that ties into 1,000 reasons why we would take the animal or would not. Then the humane law enforcement officer will decide if they want to charge the owners and so forth.
Right. And that would be, so if I want to call, let's say, I would call 911 or?
You would call the Clifton Police Department, whether it's 911 or the non-emergency line.
Oh, so if it's an emergency, just
yes.
call 911.
Yes.
Okay.
And you would call and you would say, hey, this is my situation. This is how the dog looks. I believe it's animal cruelty. Can you send the police out? Police will go. If they see something and they want assistance from animal control, we will come out. And from there, we send all our information to the HELO.
Right. Just an example, if a dog is in a car with the windows closed and it's 90 degrees outside.
Yes.
That's more of an emergency.
That is an emergency.
You know, versus non-emergency.
That is an emergency. If there's a dog in a backyard and you're just disappointed that it's been out all day, it's panting because it's hot, but it has a nice bowl of water and it has a little patio, but you just wouldn't do that to your dog. I don't mind getting the call because the last thing I want is for a dog to be in harm's way. But that wouldn't really be so much of an emergency. Maybe we could patrol and take a look. But if a dog is in a car and it is hot, if it's 90 degrees in the outside, I don't have the chart in front of me right now, but if it's 90 degrees outside, it's in the 100 and something in the car. We, as animal control officers, we have laser temperature gauges. So we shine it into the car in different locations. We could even hit the dog on the side and see what the temperatures are in the car. If it's over, you know, 100 and something, that dog does not look okay. We're going to talk to the police and we're probably going to have to make entry to prevent the dog from dying.
You guys are part of the health department. I do want to talk about the importance of licensing your dog.
Yeah.
Can you just touch upon why is it so important to license your dog?
So in the city of Clifton, licensing your dog does a couple things for you. One, it shows us, the animal control officers, that your dog is up to date on its rabies vaccine, which is very helpful. It also puts them in our system, so if your dog gets lost or runs away, we are able to look it up and find where your fuzzy friend. We also give out the rabies and the license tags that should go on your animal's collars, so that when your dog or cat does get out, we see it and we can look it up and bring them home.
Okay.
And the license is separate from a microchip, right?
Correct.
So I found a dog wandering the streets, and I had my hands full, and I called Lauren at our local health department, and Lauren was very nice to look up the license number that the owner had around its neck. Now, it was expired, but I was still able to get the information from Lauren because it was still in the system. Now, that is a big deal because instead of the dog going into the shelter, not home, one phone call, one license lookup, we got the dog back home in 20 minutes.
Lauren, you touched upon microchipping. That's also another really good way for us to relocate your dogs for you. If we find a dog, we have a microchip scanner. And basically what that does is we'll scan the dog, and if it comes up that there's a microchip, it gives us a number, and we call the company or manufacturer from the microchip, and we can look it up, and we can find the owner of the dog, which is really helpful as well. So microchips can actually be given out at your local vet. So make sure if your dog is not microchipped to do that. And make sure if it is, whether you got it from a shelter or a rescue, make sure that microchip is assigned to you and not the origin of the dog.
Right. And the microchip also, it doesn't replace the license, because I know that is the law within the city of Clifton. And you guys could issue summonses, right? If
yes.
If our residents don't comply.
If your dog is not licensed, we will have to write you summonses. We do not want to. We make it as easy as possible. The health department is the best. They make it as easy, and really it's not hard. We have it in different languages to do it. Also, for the microchip, make sure once you leave the vet with that dog with the chip in it, you call the company to obviously update, but to program, activate the chip in the dog. We see probably four out of 10 with no activation. And then probably 8 out of 10 with wrong information, but we got one good phone number and, you know, we could probably find the dog's owner. So one thing I want to touch up on is we have a beautiful city hall. Now, here's the situation. When people walk their dogs, your dog may be the nicest dog in the world, but when you walk a dog up to a shelter, I need you guys to be aware that there's volunteers turning left, right, walking with dogs, running with dogs. They're doing 100 different things, and they can't pay attention to you and your dog. So when you're walking around the shelter, I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying please keep your distance, look at the situation, and make sure that your dog, A, is friendly with other dogs, but B, we don't even want you having your dog make contact with ours because we don't know the medical history of our dogs. We don't know if they have worms and we have to treat them. You know, they could be quarantined because of that.
I know we trust our dogs, and that's fantastic that our dogs are trained, but it's not just about trusting your dog. It's about trusting the surroundings around you. So your dog needs to be on a leash, and that leash needs to be no more than 6 feet long. So those extendo leashes, we really don't recommend them, especially for your bigger breeds.
Realistically, they're illegal, but we're not going to enforce extend a leash unless there is a problem. You know, if you're just enjoying your beautiful day, the sun is shining, you have to extend a leash, you know, we're not going to come and give you a hard time. But if there's something ridiculous, like you're sitting in a chair with your feet up and your dog is extended 42 feet and is in the middle of the yellow lines in the road, I'm just going to write you a ticket because of the health of your dog. You know, you need to keep them alive and you need to be smarter than that. And I make these crazy examples, but I've seen it.
Right.
I've seen it 100 times.
So with summer coming up and there's going to be little kids running around, I think it's also important to remember that you have to have your dog on a leash.
Absolutely.
Because there are going to be children around and possibly runners or people at the parks,
yeah.
Right? And so in order to prevent even possibly dog bites, would you guys recommend a specific leash, harness, anything
just
like that?
Having your dog on a leash is step one of preventing a lot of the problems. It's for the safety of you, your dog, and the people around you, and the animals around you. Again, your dog may not be reactive, but there could be a sound or something that triggers it.
So if there is a possible dog bite, the immediate thing is to call the police?
Absolutely. Call 911.
Call 911.
Call the emergency line. And then 911 will dispatch an officer, and myself or one of our other animal control officers will come as well.
Okay.
Check your equipment. Don't have your dog with a collar on that you could fit two Coca-Cola cans. You want to make sure that it's two fingers you could slide underneath. Don't choke your dog, but have two fingers underneath, and make sure that there's no frays in your leash. And that's the biggest thing. When you're walking, it's beautiful outside now. When you're turning your corners, keep your dog tight to you.
Okay.
You know, you don't know if there's a baby walking down with their mom and your dog is face to face with a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what your dog's going to do. Your dog may be the nicest dog in the world, but he turns that corner and gets startled. And he may nip. He's not going to fully attack a baby. Why would he do that? But out of fear, I've seen it. Even if he's running with his mouth open and catches someone, you know, with the jaw, it's your property. You're responsible. You want to protect your animals. So I would say absolutely keep your dog on a leash this spring and this summer. Do not let your dogs run through the parks without a leash.
What would happen?
If an animal control officer is patrolling or an animal control officer gets called and we see your dog running at large, we have to write you a ticket for 203-10 dog at large. A dog at large could be either you take him off the leash and he's running circles around at the park. He's having a great time. But if you have a little chihuahua and your dog is running around in circles, you know, is that a huge deal? You would think not. But if someone had a 100-pound Rottweiler running around in circles and you have your little kids on the swing set and you don't know that dog, now do you have a problem with it? You do. How can I justify writing up the Rottweiler but not writing up the Chihuahua for doing the same exact thing? So I have to do it. That's what I have to do. That's my job.
Also, another thing that I want to do is I want to break the stigma of a muzzle. Muzzles don't mean that you have a bad dog. It just means that you're a good owner and you're trying to protect your dog and the people around you and the animals around you. If you know that your dog is reactive to other people, other dogs, other animals, muzzle it, and that's okay.
All right. Well, thank you both. I think we heard a lot of information. Is there any specific tips that you would like to just recap in regards to springtime?
One thing is when you're mowing the lawn, if you see a divot in the ground, take a second look. It may be a rabbit's nest with all its babies in it.
Okay.
That would definitely be important. Any type of bees, nests and everything, that's going to be pest control. It's
okay.
Not going to be
animal control.
If a bee's nest is in a city tree, I believe that is going to be the city's responsibility.
And we'll have to call public first.
Yes, right? Yes.
Just wildlife indoors. The only time animal control can come and remove wildlife from your home is if they're within a living quarters. That being your kitchen, your bathroom, your living room. If you hear scratching and gnawing in your ceilings or your walls, we can't do that. We are not allowed to come into your house and tear down your walls to get babies out. That's
so that
where
would be pest control.
Pest control or wildlife control comes into play.
Anything else?
Make sure you pick up after your dog.
Oh, hot take. Pick up after your dog. Don't leave the on the ground, right? We're not going to leave that on the ground.
And one more tip. If it's not your dog, don't try to immediately pet it.
Exactly.
You know, maybe talk to the owner first. Hey, can I pet? I've seen a lot of vet techs before they even approach the dog. They ask. It's not your dog. You don't know how he's going to react or she's going to react. So you want to talk to the owner first. Hey, can I pet? They say no. That's absolutely not. Don't touch that dog. If they say yes, don't just immediately go for the dog. You know, let him sniff you out and go from there. I know it sounds a little crazy that I'm even talking about that, but that's probably about 50% of the dog bites in Clifton and Little Falls. Someone goes to say hi to a pet, and it just goes completely wrong, and I've seen it time and time again. And realistically, it's your fault. And, you know, don't be that guy.
All right. I did want to talk about, there is one thing we haven't talked about, feeding cats. How is that in the city of Clifton? I know a lot of people think it's fun to help stray cats, but is that right? Or do you think, what would be a good tip for people who feed cats?
So in the city of Clifton, you are allowed to feed stray cats under certain requirements.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that when you're feeding the cats, you are watching the food to make sure that the cats are eating it. Animals can't tell the difference if it's cat food, raccoon food, or rat food. They're coming. It's food. The other thing is, too, is that it's not out for a long period of time. Once the food's empty, you pick up the cans and you clean up after yourself. If no cats are coming, you pick up the cans and you throw it out.
You did touch around rats. If I see a rat, am I calling animal control?
Absolutely not.
All right. Who would I call?
You would call pest control company or the,
Health department. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you both for all your information. There are so many great examples, and I hope the residents of Clifton are thankful for that. And if they want specific resources regarding anything that you've talked about, it's all on our social media and website, correct?
It's in the process of being on both right now. New wildlife tips and tricks will be up on the website and social medias within the coming week. But if you have any other questions, please feel free to call the health department, and the Mason Health Department staff will forward the information to your animal control officers, and one of us will get back to you.
So animal control officers are fun people, so if you do see them, I hope it's not regarding a summons, but definitely
wave.
Definitely wait. Anywho, thank you both for coming on Clifton Health On Air. We do hope to have you at another episode.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lauren, take us out.
Tune in to our podcast every other Monday for a new episode. If you have any questions, you can email us at health@cliftonnj.org. You can visit our website at www.cliftonnj.org. You can follow us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Clifton Health. And before we leave today, let us ask ourselves, did you make a difference in someone's life today?